I woke up this morning, the first thing God spoke says, I am God, I change not. I'm God, I change not. Right? That's in Malachi. And then in Hebrews he says, I am the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Some of us in this room, myself included, sometimes thinks God bends or changes or kind of molds himself to fit what I want to do. He does not. And that's why when I was listening to the song, that I seen that come up, and it says, I am forgiven. Is there anybody in here forgiven? Amen. Forgiven of what? Forgiven of what? Somebody said it up here. You're forgiven of your sin. I am forgiven of my sin, and you were forsaken. We just sung the song. Why was he forsaken? Does anybody know why he was forsaken? Who forsook him? God, the Father, right? For what? For sin. He became sin who knew no sin. He became sin for us. He took our place on Calvary. So if he was forsaken and crucified for your sins, then sin is still wrong. And I am accepted because you were condemned. The very moment Jesus became sin, God crushed him. Isaiah 53 is just two chapters from where we're at in the Bible today. It said, it pleased God to crush him. Whew. You better understand something 100% correct here. God is a loving God, and he is. He is a merciful God. He is. But he is a holy and righteous God. And I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to stand in front of you today, and I'm going to tell you this. If you try to stand before God without salvation, he will condemn you to a sinner's hell for eternity, and it will please him to do so because you have walked over the blood, the only sacrifice for your sins that is available to you. And when you do that, you stand before an almighty God, and he will hold you accountable for every sin you have committed and every law and ordinance you have broken. And he will do it. He will say it in a simple word. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You need to know that in your heart this morning. That same God who loves you. And we talk about, man, Jesus loves a sinner. Jesus does. Jesus loves sinners. He sits down with them. Amen. We say this all the time. It's cliche stuff now. I mean, you can't preach nothing new in 2020. Jesus sits down with sinners. I got a whole Bible. Luke 15 is my favorite. That's my favorite place to preach from. He sits with sinners. But you know what the difference is when Jesus sits with sinners compared to when we sit with sinners? When he gets up, the sinners who didn't convert to Christianity know they are lost and undone, but the ones who sat with Jesus and heard every word he said convert and be saved. Amen? He didn't sit at the table to hang out. He sat at the table to say, look, there is a better way. Golly, when Jesus sat down at my table, I can almost tell you exactly where I was. Where I was in life, I was at Plant WE in Chatsworth, Georgia, Shaw Industries. That was my Egypt, and God sat down at my table. Amen? He sat down at my table and he said, Kevin, if you're going to go with me, you're going to have to change. And you're going to have to change big time. You're going to have to get sick and tired of your sin. You're going to have to repent of your sin. This is a message nobody preaches anymore. I mean, churches are out there today. We're just saying, man, everybody can go. God will accept you for who you are. Stay how you are. And God will somehow you'll miraculously get into heaven. That is insanity. I'd rather be hated by everybody on the face of this planet than tell you a lie. I've told this story here before, and I'm going to move on to Isaiah 55 in a minute because I got a great deal to sell to you guys. I'm going to sell y'all something this morning. I got to keep some of y'all interested. I've told this story before. It was Mississippi, late night. There were some men fishing. And all of a sudden they heard this terrible noise. What had happened is the bridge had collapsed between two highways in the middle of the night. They were fishing in the night. The bridge collapsed. And the two men watched, and a few minutes later they heard a car coming down that same highway and hit the water. The first one bothered them. The second one they heard, it bothered them even more. And the third one, they just couldn't get over it. So they made their way to the shoreline. They had some flares in their boat, so they got up out of the water, climbed up onto the bank, climbed up over the bridge, and got on one side of the bridge. And lo and behold, right before them was a transfer truck or semi-truck was making its way to the bridge where eventually it would fly off into the abyss and die. So the two radical fishermen take the flares and start shooting them at the transfer truck. Now when the driver gets the first flare into the windshield, he curses them. "You idiots! What are you doing? I'm trying to go somewhere." By the third or fourth flare, he begins to slam on his brakes, mad and upset. "I'm going to kill these guys." And he brings the truck to a screeching halt and blocks both sides of the highway. Gets out, starts berating the two men, threatening them, and one of the men grab him by the shirt, take him over to the edge of the bridge and say, "That's why we shot the fire at the truck, to get you to stop before you drove off into a mess. We were sitting down there in our boats watching one person after another fall off into their death, and we couldn't stop. We couldn't stay there anymore. I wish the church would get to a place where we just can't stay there watching another person fly off into eternity and not really care. Because we say dumb stuff like, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I don't want to hit them over the head with the scripture, or I don't want to..." Let's just be honest about that. Make a note here. And make a note beside it. I don't like Kevin anymore, and that's okay. Make another note right there. I am more concerned about how people feel about me than I am worried about the condition of lost people's souls. You're worried about how many people are going to like you instead of how many people are going to be in eternity. God did not save you for you to amass a bunch of friends on the face of this planet. He saved you that you could tell other people that there is a way out of hell. Some of y'all are about to go to college or are in college, and they're going to tell you something. I got this a couple days ago, and man, it blew me away. I might, Nancy, eventually get to the message. I don't know. Thank you. You're going to hear in college, like, you know, there's no way God, in His infinite wisdom, would make such a narrow way only so many people could get in. Let me say it the way Scripture says. Narrow is the way, right? And narrow is the gate. And few be therein, right? And some people get hung up on that. That God just got, there's just one door to heaven. Lamar, there's just one gate. I'm not amazed at how narrow it is. I'm not amazed that there's one narrow gate. You know what I'm amazed? That the gate's open. Amen? Amen. If you're sitting here saved this morning, you're probably on the same line I am right there. I'm looking at the gate going, I can't believe there's a little bit of crack in the gate. Because none of us deserve to get in the gate. Amen. We all deserve the wide gate on the wide path that many people are there on. But praise God, aren't you glad? Golly. Y'all make me preach too hard. I'm serious. Y'all should be shouting right now. Somebody in here got saved, wasn't supposed to be saved. Some of y'all in here right now should be losing your mind. Some of y'all have been through some stuff. Amen? Praise God. I feel like that little Syrophoenician woman in the Bible. Praise God. She didn't want the whole cake. She didn't want the whole loaf of bread. She just wanted a crumb. Amen? When Jesus come walking by her, she had a devil daughter at home. Whew, good Lord. Some of you women could have said amen right there. Have you ever been the devil daughter or had a devil daughter at home? Man, that's a whole nother. Come on, you women are so cool in here. Women and daughters don't get along, especially about 14 to about 18. They go through this period, it's like civil war. Finally, some of y'all recognize what I'm saying. I swear, sometimes I come in here and preach, and y'all are sitting in here like, I hope he hurries up, man. We'd really like to get down to lunch. I'm preaching some truth. Amen? Y'all go to civil war. Man, the devil got in her daughter, and you know what she did? She got sick and tired of fighting with the daughter and fussing with the daughter and cussing with the daughter and wrestling with the daughter. You know what she did? She went and found Jesus. Whew. Some of y'all need to stop wrestling with some people and just go find Jesus. Amen? Get him involved. Get him in the ring. Get him in the fight. Get him in the thing. You told everybody else. You tell everybody else. You get everybody else involved. You got everybody, half of Facebook's for you, half of Facebook's against you. Praise God. Why don't you just go to Jesus and get him on your side? And you know what happens when you get Jesus on your side? He'll fix them. I'm glad somebody else said it. And you, and he will not do it in that order. I threw that last part a curveball. Because what you'll want him to do is fix that other person. And God will say, why don't we just work on you first? Because the thing about you that I'm trying to fix is this right here. You can't fix them and I can't fix them because they're not seeking me. But guess who we can work on? People come to me all the time and they're in a dire straits. I'm in a bad position. I'm in a bad place. What do you think I should do? I say, look. From right here, right now, start doing everything that God says to do in His Word and by His Spirit. If you got in a bad place, that means you left a good place. God, if y'all don't start amening me, I promise you, I will be outside preaching. I know if there's a chicken or a duck or a dog or something that will hear this word. Amen? Praise God. Here's what God tells me. When I get into a bad place, all He says, Kevin, you got in this bad place because you did everything that I said not to do to get yourself in a bad spot. So now, praise God, hear what I say, do what I say, and walk out of this bad spot into a good spot. Will the spot be as good as I left? I don't know. Because sin has consequences. Amen? Sin has consequences. You might not ever get back to the good spot that you was in. Golly bum. Is there anybody? Amen. Will you hit that air just a little bit? Just knock it down about two notches. I'm about to break a sweat in here. Is it wrong to say turn the air down in the middle of the church service? That's in Ezekiel chapter 2. Where was we at? We were in the message before I got to the message, right? That's what I thought. So Jesus is Jesus and God's God, He changes not. I want you to know this. God will never be acceptance of your sin. He will never provide you of an opportunity to take a sinful way to get to a righteous end. Amen? So if you ever find yourself in a bad spot, get in that book and get on your face and start making a bunch of right choices until you get back to good. Amen. Y'all ready for the message? Great. All right. I am so glad to be home, man. I love this church, man. I love being home. Isaiah 55. Are y'all ready? I'm only going to preach one verse. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't amen me now, David. It's too late. First time I seen him smile the whole service when I said one verse. He went, finally, my brother. Isaiah 55, y'all ready? Oh, man. Peyton, I had to work on that. Oh, man. You can't start a message out with just an H-O. You got to say, oh, man, do I got a deal for you today. Y'all ready? Can y'all handle 15 more minutes? Is that all right? All right, thank you. Deal with him at the end of the service. All right, listen, it's not me. Don't come to me. He called the 30. I did not. I will give you 30 good minutes. Oh, everyone that has thirsted. Wait a minute. Let's say, oh, man, here comes the good deal. Everyone that thirsted. Anybody ever been here thirsty? Whew, good Lord. There's a new term for thirsty. But we won't talk about it. Everyone that thirsteth, my soul has been thirsty, and my soul has hunted in the world for things to fill that thirst, that lust, that desire, that empty feeling inside. I have went after the things. I'm telling you from experience, I have chased the things, and I have found that none of them suffice until you find Jesus, right? Come ye to the waters. Ooh, glory, glory. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye by. When he says by right there, he said if you are heavy laden, if you are burdened, or you are grieving, if you've got stuff on you can't get off, hey man, praise God, come to me and buy. Praise God, ain't you glad that this is good? And he says, eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Good Lord, we are talking about the gospel, amen. Have you ever had somebody try to sell you something? At one time in my life, I thought about being a salesman, amen. I did. God, some of y'all stop smiling. I could pull off salesman. I thought when I was in about the sixth grade I could pull off salesman because every year they would have us sell those candy bars and stuff, remember? I know your post. They'd sell them candy bars, right? This time they had us selling these things, had what they called clusters, right? Stop, Scott. With the clusters, right? The caramel clusters, right? Well, my neighbors, I went around every year. I lived in this little horseshoe, and I'd go around to all my neighbors. You know what they got to do when you live in a neighborhood and you're selling stuff for school, right? They've got to buy something, right? You give them the old puppy dog eyes. You're like, I'm here, and I won't be able to go to school without these candy bars being sold. Anyway, and some of the people would get over it, and they wouldn't open the door, but one person did. Well, anyway, and he ordered a big order. He had a big business, and he ordered a big bunch of these chocolate clusters. And I thought these were safe because when they gave us the candy bars, the money candy bars, I didn't like when we sold them because I loved them, and I could eat a whole box, and I would owe the school like $100. Well, when the cluster things came out, I'm like, good, I hate those. I wouldn't eat those anyway, right? So, but guess what? We got the order. It's a big order. I got a prize. I got all this stuff to go in it. But then all of a sudden, the orders came in. And when it did, there was a kind of a big storm that hit right during the winter. It hit a big storm for about 3 days. And I was stuck at my house with the clusters. Right? I hated the clusters. I didn't want the clusters. I don't even think I like clusters to this day. I might like a few. But I'll tell you right now, I was sitting there looking at the boxes of clusters, 12 stacked boxes of clusters. And they have chocolate, and they have a ooey gooey center of caramel, and they have like a crunchy thing in there too. It's amazing. Some of y'all are hungry for clusters right now. Right after church, you go get you some clusters, okay? But anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, man, you know what? He's got 12 boxes. He won't miss one cluster, right? So I peel off the styrofoam. I can't even say the word. Cellophane. Oh, thank you very much. I didn't know that one. Cellophane. I slip it off back to about midway of the box. I slide out this little plastic container that's formed in the shape of a cluster. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting me. This is good stuff. Amen. Y'all might not remember anything else. We're going to remember this. So I take one cluster out. I slide it back into the box. Put the cellophane. Say it again. Cellophane. Okay. Y'all going to need to do that a couple more times. So we do that. And I put it back in a stack. And I even thought, man, I'll put it down at the bottom of the stack, right? They don't miss it. Golly. So I'm sitting there, I'm eating it, and I'm like, man, it's good. I mean, they won't miss one more cluster, right? I mean, one more cluster out of the box. One's gone. You might as well get the next thing you know, I'm at the end of the box. Next thing you know, I'm into box number two. Hey, don't judge me. Some of y'all have had some clusters too. Hey, man. I'm three or four clusters in, boxes, not clusters. And I'm sitting there, 2 days go by, next thing you know, it's Steve the neighbor. He's driven over in the storm. He's like, I'm here to pick up the clusters. I walk out there with two boxes of clusters, should have been 12 boxes. He goes, where's the rest? They didn't come in, sir. My mom said, yeah, they came in. I seen them. Oh, man, you rat. So I'm not a very good salesman because I eat the product, amen? But I've met some good salesmen along the way in my life. I've ran into some people who could sell ice water to Eskimos. Amen? That can sell you on stuff that you never thought you needed or wanted. That's kind of what I wanted to be today. Let's talk about this product. This product, let's see. It's water, it's milk, and it's wine. It's a one in three combination. It's the gospel. The gospel comes in a miraculous combo package that can change your life. It comes in the water. The water is a nourishing or a cleansing. Praise God. You need the water. Everybody in this room needs water. Praise God. And you need the salvation, the living water of Jesus Christ. If you don't have the water, you're not saved. Jesus was once told, he told Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. If you are not washed by the water, amen. If you're not born again, you're not saved. You're not, if you don't have the living water, which he says in John chapter 4 that he is the living water. If you don't have it, you can't get in. So you can't survive without water. So in this miraculous concoction of the gospel, there is water and you need it. Praise God. Ain't that good? Then there is the wine. Amen. And that wine combination in this three pack of the gospel is one that brings joy to your heart. Anybody in here got some joy in your heart? I'm talking about some cheer, amen? Some genuine, unshakable cheer. Good Lord. If you ain't saved, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you are saved, praise God, there is cheer on the inside. Where cheer didn't belong, where joy didn't belong, it was not. And it fills your heart up, amen? Praise God. Have you got saved? You know what I'm talking about. But then there's this milk. You know what? You can survive off of milk. You can. Milk does. It does the bones, the skin, the nerves, the muscles, and the sinew. I just threw the sinew in as a bonus. Golly, you're tough. That's what the milk does. You can survive. The strongest man in the world and the weakest man in the world can survive off milk. Amen? Some of you survived off milk for about 1 or 2 years. I'm looking at you. You'll get that in a minute. It'll kick in. Praise God, you survived on milk. So guess what? The gospel is just like that. It does this right here. It's knowledge for your brain. Some people in this world, if you get around too many people that are overeducated, they will say the gospel will dumb you down. You have to be stupid. But to believe it and follow it, that is not true. The more you study about Jesus, the more you study about the gospel, the more you study the Bible, you will find that the beginning of all wisdom is Jesus. So there's knowledge for your brain. There's love for your heart. How many of you got saved and learned how to love? Hear anybody in here figure that one out? What I thought love was before I got saved is what can you give me and what can you do for me? Amen? What love is what can I do for you and expect nothing in return? Man, I didn't even know what love was until I got saved. I had it all wrong, upside down and backwards. Some of y'all are trying to find love in all the wrong places with all the wrong spaces. Amen? Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to chase something that you'll never apprehend until Jesus apprehends you and apprehends your soul and the love of Christ moves in your heart and shows you love. You don't even know what love is. Whew. Has there anybody got love? I ain't going to be but about 10 more minutes. Act alive in here. Come on. What's this right here? And guess what? When you get that milk, it gives you one more thing. It's guidance for your feet. Knowledge for your brain, love for your heart, guidance for your feet. Anybody else been going some places with Jesus? Beautiful are the feet of those who share the gospel. Amen? I'm telling you, I got some beautiful feet, man. They are. They're wonderfully beautiful. Wonderfully and fearfully made by God. Oh, some of y'all doubt. I ain't kicking my shoes off in here and pulling my socks off. Somebody said amen. But I want to tell you right now, they're beautiful. They are. They're beautiful. Ed's got beautiful feet. Ed, you got some beautiful feet. Don't let Debbie tell you any different. Got some beautiful feet. Handsome feet. Great feet. So how do you know? Amen? Gene, you got good feet. Let me say it right. You got beautiful feet. I've been noticing you got beautiful feet. He's sitting there going, man, Janice is going like, I don't know, buddy. I don't know about you. I've been married to him for a while. I could refute that in court. Amen? She just leaned up, told Debbie, said, I've got a testimony. It's not that his feet are beautiful in a sense of looking at them beautiful. They're beautiful that when they arrive, they have good news. Beautiful are the feet that share the gospel because when they show up, they've got something to tell that will save the soul. So you'll say, I don't know what his feet look like, but I know what they're carrying. Amen. I want to be said of me when I die, his feet were beautiful to the lost people of the world because when he showed up, he preached Jesus. Amen? I love these. There's two more things in there that I got to looking at, the wine and the milk. I started thinking a little bit deeper than just the wine and the milk on that kind of level. I started thinking about wine. There's a process for wine. Did y'all know that? When you make wine, there's a process. Somebody tell me how you make it. Yeah, not in church, right? Some of y'all about broke out. Well, this is what you got to do to ferment. This is what you got to do. This process. Wine is a process. It's got to ferment. It's got to age. And the greater the wine, the longer it stays in the bottle. Amen? Does that make sense? In the biblical times, you would break out the wine for a marriage ceremony, right? A marriage that would go a month to almost 2 months full of celebrating, you would break out the best wine. That's like the gospel too, amen? How many of you, since you got saved, there's something better waiting for you? Golly, come on. Y'all, just stay with me. We're not going to be here all day, but just check this out. When you got saved, did you ever receive something that's on the inside? It's by way of the Holy Spirit, and it just makes you feel like, there's something greater that I'm looking through a glass darkly right now, but I know there's something greater out there in me, that for me. Amen. Do you feel like, man, when you get to heaven, you ain't gonna really know what to do, because you know what? There's something greater. Have you ever, God, let me preach a little bit. Is that all right? Have you ever been somewhere with Jesus that you found him sweeter than you thought he was? Have you? Have you ever been to a place where you thought you knew about Jesus, but then all of a sudden he took you to a deeper place and you were like, oh, I didn't know that was there. Golly. Jesus went over and broke out the wine, right? He broke open the bottle of something deeper that you didn't even know was, golly, bum. Is there anybody in here who got to something that you didn't even know was in the package? All of a sudden he's like letting you in on some stuff. That this world is not your home. You are only passing through. These relationships are temporary. Me and you, we are friends forever. I have adopted you. I found you in a mess. I loved you, and I've kept you, and I will keep. Good Lord. But that old milk, Charlie, you know milk? You can get milk anywhere. See, right now, you can go get chocolate milk, strawberry milk, regular milk, 2%, whole milk, skim milk. I feel like Forrest Gump. You can get all kinds of milk. You can get all kinds of milk. Milk's everyday stuff. You ain't got to wait too long to get milk. You just go get milk, right? You can go down and buy all kinds of jugs of milk. Milk's everyday. That's part of the gospel too. There's something for you every day if you want it. Amen? It'll keep you going, keep you walking, keep you love, keep it all in there. It's just like regular drinking milk. It's an everyday thing. Oh, we're going to have milk. Used to we had milk with dinner, but now it's water, right? But milk, man, you just had milk for everything. Amen? Yeah, sweet tea. Somebody did. Keith said amen over. I heard him. All right? But anyway, what I'm saying is, praise God, the gospel, there is this deep, rich thing that sometimes you need God to have a special occasion, and it's amazing, like when you're going through a pain, a hurt, a death, a grieving, something major, or a joyous occasion. But praise God, on Monday, man, I'm about to preach again in here. Man, I love Jesus, not on Sunday. Man, Sunday's good. That's break out the shadow. That's a big part of for the church. But praise God, I'm glad I got some milk on Monday. Whew. I'm glad I got some milk on Tuesday. Y'all wouldn't know this, but we do milk and wine on Wednesday here. Imagine that. I'm glad I got milk on Friday. Amen? Jesus don't ever run out. Some of you guys don't have any leadership with Jesus because you only think he only works one day a week. You come in here having wine on Sunday and you think that's all it's about. Have a big time, pop the court, run wild. Praise God, guess what? There's some milk for you that would help you grow in Jesus. You grow on the milk. Amen. You grow on the everyday. Amen. You grow closer to him. And if you would get the milk in you, get close to it, drink it a lot, seek him, all of a sudden he'd break off into some wine with you and you would have a time with him. Glory to God. That gospel, what is it? You know, can I tell you what the gospel is? Do y'all know? Here's the gospel. It is a, what's this right here? It is a full, free pardon from all your sins. that Jesus Christ purchased with his atoning blood. Woo, glory to God. Do y'all know what atonement means? Do y'all know what atonement means? Do y'all know what pitch is? I'm about to teach y'all something. Y'all ready? Y'all get taught. In the Bible, you'll see a couple times in the Bible, when they built the Ark of the Covenant, y'all remember that boat? Amen? No sail, no rudder, no steering wheel, still got to cross everything. That's Jesus, right? And do y'all remember when Moses got put in the bulrush of weeds? On the inside of the ark and the bulrush, they put something called the pitch. Do you know what pitch is? There's another word for that. That pitch, translated into another word, is called atonement. Atonement. Somebody said tar. Good. Atonement. Do you know what atonement does? Same thing pitch does. Same thing tar does. It seals it and it doesn't let judgment in. Amen? It don't let the judgment in what's got you being held. So guess what? When the ark was there, the pitch kept the water out. Good God Almighty. When you get saved, guess what Jesus does? The blood, God, Jesus, the blood of Jesus seals you until the day of redemption. That way, the judgment can't get in. Good God. I'm glad y'all had me preach this morning. Let's talk testimony. Yeah, you know what I like? When I'm trying to sell something, I like to have a testimony, before and afters, right? You get a good picture of somebody that's before and after. Well, I thought about that where his first mission is the woman at the well. She came to Jesus and she was a mess. Amen? Five husbands and living with the dude that ain't her husband. I'm sorry. Took the air out of the room right there. That last guy, whew, she didn't marry him. She was just living with him. And she thought, man, I can't stand you. I'd rather walk through the desert with a hot jug than stand here with you. I'd rather drag a big old container of water halfway across the desert to live in a house with you. Whew, never mind. Golly. Whew. She drug out. She's like, I'm sick and tired, broke, busted. I'm just give up on life. And guess what? She run into a man named Jesus at a well on her worst day. She tried to get to the well because she said nobody else will be there. Nobody will be at the well in the middle of the day. You don't go to get water in the desert in the middle of the day unless it's an orchestrated event for Jesus to show up. Jesus sat down on the well, sent every one of his disciples into town. Boys, I need y'all to go into town and get me something to eat. Yes, sir. They all argued all the way into town. I'm going to get him the best fish sandwich he's ever had. I'm going to have one that'll slap his mama. They'll be so good. And they all went to town arguing which one's going to bring the best fish sandwich back. Best honey and fish sandwich, Gary. Honey and fish. Do that in there for you. But all of a sudden, guess what? Here comes this woman from the woman at the well comes up there and sits down, and she has converse with Jesus, and Jesus is talking back and forth once again. He sits with sinners, but he don't leave them sinners. Amen? He hangs out with sinners, but he won't leave you one. If you got a bunch of people saying you can sin and live any way you want to, and they just hang out with you and cheer for you as your whole world burns to the ground, they are not your friend. They are your enemy. You need to relabel them. Slap a big old enemy on their forehead. Say, you are the enemy. Praise God. You need somebody to stand up in your life and say, you're the truth. Jesus told her the truth. Amen. He's sitting there. He's looking at her and he said, listen. He said, if you knew me, if you'd asked me for water, I'd give you that living water. Boy, I love her because she said, give me that living water. I ain't never come back to this well again. How many of y'all want to get over the hard parts of your life and not have to do that again? She goes, I don't want to drug this thing out here in the water. He goes, go call your husband. She said, I perceive that you are a prophet, sir. Amen? When Jesus breaks you in the right place, you'll see who he really is. It ain't how good God treats you, it's how he breaks you. Because God breaks you to make you. That'd be a good bumper sticker. Charlie, write that down. Put it in the bumper sticker pile, okay? He'll break you to make you. He'll hit you right in the right spot to make you. But then there's this other gentleman in Acts chapter 4 who, when Peter and James, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and he filled the church with the Holy Spirit, they were on the way to the church. They were on the way to the church or on the way to the temple. They found a man who was laid outside the gate lame, and they gave him that same living water. And guess what he did? He stood up, he walked, he leaped, and he shouted and he praised. That's a testimonial, ain't it? The man was broken and undone. He couldn't walk. He was a beggar, and he was laid outside the temple and couldn't get in. But when Jesus came by way of his disciples like us, praise God, they gave him that living water, and he'd done some things he had never done before. And you will too if you get saved. You'll do some things you've never done before if you'll get saved. And one last testimony, August 28 of 04. Sharon, y'all know what day it is? Y'all sent me a birthday card today. Thank you. God bless you. Today's my spiritual birthday. August 28, 04 is when I got saved. So guess what? I took that living water August 28, 04, and guess what happened? I'm shouting, running, walking, and testifying of the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. Ain't that amazing? That's good. All right, we got to seal the deal. Charlie, you ready? Are you ready, sir? Because I'm going to close the deal with you today, sir. You are going to buy this today. You're going to leave here with this. And some of you are going to leave this. Some of you are going to leave with this. Can I make the deal with you? Let's talk about the most important thing. Let's talk about price. It's totally 100% free. All you have to do is come and say, God, give me the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give me that atoning blood. Give me that free gift of salvation. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Lead, guide, and direct me for the rest of my life. Be my Savior. Everybody stand up. The closing deal is this. If you do not have Jesus and you don't have him fully, come take. Come purchase. How do you purchase? You ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you ask him to be the Lord of your life, and you ask him to lead, guide, and direct you for the rest of your life. You say, this deal is too good to be true. It seems to be, but it is not. Because there are many people in this room that have accepted that great deal. Many, many, many in this room have accepted that great deal. And they are praying for you this morning that you would come and accept that same offer this morning. That you would come and you would ask Jesus Christ to give you that living water, to give you that salvation, that you might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you stand before him, he will say, enter in, my good and faithful servant, because of what Jesus done for you on your behalf at Calvary. If God has spoken to you this morning, please come and pray.